As a father, I consider myself passive and irresponsible. I thought that just working hard and earning my family would make me a good father. I relied on my wife for the rest of my family's needs, making her decide for most things. When conflicts happen, I always resulted to me being violent and would speak hurtful words to my wife and child. When my wife passed away last 2008, things changed a lot. It was a huge transition for me doing things alone, balancing work, finances, managing the household, and taking care of my daughter who was in high school at that time. I made me so confused and discouraged. To make things worse, my mother got sick, and being the eldest, I had to take care of everything. It was then when God started working in my life. I was curious at my sister, who was so surprisingly at peace even when things went rough in her life. There's unexplainable joy in her that made me wonder what made her that way. It was then when she said that she accepted Jesus in her life, and it was Him who transformed her. When she said that, I got very curious and went with her to CCF. And while attending the worship service that time, I understood what Jesus did on the cross for me and accepted Him as my Lord and Savior.
Slowly, I saw how God transformed my dad. Being the only child and mommy's girl, I was never close to him. I just knew him as my violent father who provided for me, but I didn't really have a close relationship with him. I would rather spend time studying and being with my friends rather than spend time with him. It surprised me a lot when I started seeing changes in him. He would ask me how I am, would spend time with me, and would intentionally share with me what God taught him in his prayer time. I was also surprised with the gentleness and joy that he had even when things got rough. I saw how he responded when I deliberately dishonored him. It was so surprising. I got curious who made my dad like that. It was in 2013 when I decided to go with him to CCF and understood the love that my Heavenly Father has for me and that Jesus died on the cross for me. I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior that day.
People would easily assume that our life would be easier because we're just two in the family and we are both followers of Jesus. But no, it's still not easy. We still have conflicts, but it would always be resolved. For example, since Astrid and I now have a relationship, she would treat me like a friend, making me feel disrespected. There would be times that we would have misunderstandings, but God always reminds me of Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. By God's grace alone, I am able to process my anger and lift it up to the Lord in prayer, and then we would intentionally process it together and ask for forgiveness.
I saw how the Lord alone changed both of our hearts. I would always be reminded to obey the Lord by honoring my father. The Lord strengthened our relationship through our personal intimacy with Him, and as we both serve Him in leading others to Christ. I am now a full-time campus missionary in Elevate, and I minister to Manila and Intramuros campuses. It was my dad who encouraged me to accept the Lord's call to serve Him and help young people in the campuses to know and accept Jesus. As I lead young women to Christ, I am reminded to share to them the powerful love of our Heavenly Father that can restore and transform. We are still works in progress, and please pray for us as we follow and obey the Lord as a family.
I'm Ariel Casacop.
And I'm Astrid Casacop.
To God be all the glory.
It's one thing to know God's will. It's another thing to do it. Now, why is it important to know God's will? All right, singles, are you listening to me? I'm sure you have asked yourself, Lord, who will I marry? Yes or no? Lord, if you're a guy, who should I marry? There are so many girls chasing after me. Your problem is, who do I marry? Ladies, the same thing with you. Now, if you are looking for a career, you want to know, Lord, what should be my career? If you are thinking of migrating to the States, Lord, should I go to the States? Should I go to New Zealand? Should I leave this country? See, all of these are all important questions. Yes or no? I know you want to know God's will and do it. So this morning, believe it or not, in the Bible, it tells us how to know God's will and how to do it. Are you interested? All right. First, let me give you the biblical basis of knowing God's will. The good news is this: God wants you to know His will more than you would like to know His will. Tell your neighbor, God wants you to know His will. Amazing. Let me share with you Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The good news: God wants you to know His will. Let's read. Do not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't copy the values of this world. Don't copy. You are already copying the world. Stop it. Everybody read. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God wants us to be transformed. This is a command. You need to be transformed. However, it is in the passive voice. You cannot transform yourself. You have to allow something to help you be transformed. It's passive. Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. You got to know the Word of God. You got to know the truth so that you will be transformed. Until your mind is changed, behavior will not change. You can change temporarily, but the mind has to be changed. And then when the mind is changed, the heart is changed. When the heart is changed, behavior will change. Therefore, why is this important? Let me tell you why. For what purpose? Everybody read. So that. One more time. So that. So that what? You may prove. You may experience what the will of God is. What is the good news? The will of God is, everybody read, good, acceptable, and perfect. What is good is not always the will of God, but the will of God is always good. God wants you to know His will. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, let's read this together. So then, do not be foolish. Don't be a fool. Life is short. But understand what the will of the Lord is. The reason it is so important to know God's will, you don't want to waste your life. You see, there are two kinds of people in this room. Think about it. Number one, those who are very serious and sincere in seeking God's will, and they want to do it. They know it is important. You have another kind of people who don't really care about God's will. They want to do their own will. Which one are you? The Bible says, don't be foolish. Understand what the will of the Lord is. I cannot force people to want to know God's will. You have to decide for yourself. At the end of your life, you are going to be accountable to the Lord. Jesus tells us, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Jesus is saying, if you are a true Christian and you call me Lord, then find out my will and do what I want you to do. But in this room today, I will guarantee you two kinds of people in this room. Those who keep on doing their own will. You don't care about God's will. Or those who really are sincerely desirous to know God's will. I don't know about you, but many years ago, I surrendered my life completely to Jesus. I'm not perfect, but I said, Jesus, I want to know your will so I can do it. So at the end of my life, I will have minimum regrets and have maximum joy. Minimum regrets. What is very sad is at the end of your life, you discover you are doing things not what God wants you to do. So this is important. What's the message today, everybody? know God's will and do it. But I'm going to give you a hint. When you think of God's will, the will of God, many times you think of who I should marry, where I should go, but foundational is really surrender your life. The next verse, don't get drunk with wine, don't be controlled by wine, for that is a waste of life, dissipation, you are wasting your life, but be filled, be controlled with the Holy Spirit. I'm giving you a hint. So, what's the message today, everybody? Know God's will and do it. Turn to your neighbor. Know God's will and do it. Now, before I continue, I want all of us to ask ourselves this question. What is the question? Everybody read. Am I really trying to know God's will? Or am I trying to know God's will in order to decide whether I want to do it or not? Let me repeat. Are you sincere in knowing God's will so you will do it? Or are you trying to know God's will to check it out and decide whether you want to do it or not? You will never know God's will if you are not sincere in desiring to know His will. Because God's will is given for those who are hungry, who are sincere in wanting to know God's will and to please Him. So, how do you know God's will? I'm going to have five simple suggestions. Number one, I suggest foundation. Study God's word. Everybody, together. Study God's word. You better know God's word. Why? Because God's will never contradict His word. God's word is objective. It's written. I call that the foundation. The foundation of knowing God's will, you need to know and study God's word. What do I mean? The Bible is very clear about the importance of God's word. For example, God's will is revealed in His word. Psalm 119, verse 11. Let's read together. Thy word I have treasured in my heart, that I will not sin against you. God's word. The psalmist said, I treasure this, I value this. And that's why we ask you to memorize verses. By the way, can I teach you how to memorize verses? Rule number one, don't try to memorize it. Huh. What do you do? Read it every day. Read it 3 times a day. Before breakfast, read it. Before lunchtime, read it. Dinner, read it. Before going to bed, if you have time, don't watch the TV first, read it. I guarantee you, in 1 week's time, you memorize the verse. That's the secret. So now, it takes longer. Because now, before breakfast or after breakfast, I have to read all the memory verses. I'm dame, dame, nai. I began with the first one, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not heard? Do you not know? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. Yeah. So that's how you memorize verses. So treasured in your heart. Number two, notice the importance of God's word. Everybody read, I shall delight. I do not know whether you delight in God's word or not. What's your attitude? If you think it's legalistic, ay nako, pinapamemorize. They're asking us to memorize God's word again. Wrong attitude. Your attitude should be treasure, delight. I love the word of God. You know why? God's word is meant to protect us. God's word is meant to prosper us, to guide you, not against us. Notice, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. That's how you get guidance. So, do you want to do God's will? Yes or no? What's principle number one? Study God's word. Tell your neighbor, study God's word. What's my proof? Now, let's look at Acts. How did the Apostle Paul know the will of God? How did he know? What did he know? Let me tell you. Last Sunday, we stopped in Acts 15, 35. Do you recall last Sunday, what was our topic? How to resolve conflict. Do you remember? Conflict is inevitable, remember? And I gave you the PPP. What's number one? Be proactive. You have conflict with family members, usually it's family members. You must be proactive. And what did I say? Face to face. Personal. Face to face. Perspective. Hear. Listen to each other. Remember? So, after stopping in verse 35, let's find out now. Okay, are you ready? You must know God's word. Look at the Apostle Paul. After some days, Paul said to Barnabas, "Let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we have proclaimed the word of the Lord and see how they are." Why did Paul decide to go back to every city? There was no angel telling him what to do. There was no lightning. But on his own, let's go back. Can I tell you why? Here's the principle. Not only must you know God's word, Paul knew the word of Jesus. Paul knew his goal is to seek God's mission. What do I mean? You see, it is important that you understand God's word, but you must also seek what he wants you to do. What do I mean? I love this quotation from Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Let's read this together. Everybody, being a Christian is less about cautiously avoiding sin than courageously, actively doing God's will. You see, let me repeat, a true Christian is not somebody trying to avoid sin all the time. No, no. God's word will protect you from sin. But God's word is supposed to inspire you to seek out God's agenda, God's priority. And what is God's priority for the Apostle Paul? Paul knew that the last command of Jesus in the book of Matthew, what was his last command? Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, every time I read this verse, wherever I go, Europe, Asia, just a few weeks ago I was in Indonesia, I always ask the people, according to this verse, there are different verbs. How many of you, you must raise your hand once, okay? Raise your hand once. Are we communicating? According to this verse, what is the command? How many of you say, go? Raise your hands. Go. Nobody. You are so much. Ah, a few. See? Praise God. Higher, higher, higher. Okay, go, go. Dumadami na. Go, go. Mister, go. Go. All right. How many of you say the verb is baptize them? Yung mga Baptists. Raise your hands. How many of you say the main verb is teach? Teach. Raise your hands. Higher, higher. You know, those of you who raise your hands, I know you have not graduated from GLC, okay? So I'm going to teach you. From now on, when you read these verses, the primary main verb is, everybody, make disciples. Say that with me. Make disciples. That's the main verb. How do you make disciples? As you go. How do you make disciples? You baptize them. How do you make disciples? Teach them to obey all commandments. But what's the primary verb? Make disciples. The Apostle Paul knew this. And that is why he decided, let's go back to these people. Go back where? Look at the Apostle Paul. Paul said, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word, not just evangelize them, and see how they are. In CCF, we believe in making disciples. Everything we do here has got to connect with making disciples. You'll help them grow. You don't just preach the gospel. You got to help them grow, become Christ-like. So the Apostle Paul knew this. So how do you know God's will? Study his word and then seek his agenda. What's God's agenda, everybody? Make disciples to make what? Disciples. Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with them. But Paul kept insisting, you should not take him along who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. Do you understand this scenario? Paul and Barnabas wanted to pursue God's mission. Barnabas wanted to disciple people. Paul wanted to disciple people. Except there's a problem. The problem is this. Barnabas wanted to bring John, called Mark. Why? Because John Mark was his cousin. And Barnabas, his nature is an encourager. John Mark is very people-centered. While the Apostle Paul is different. The Apostle Paul is goal-oriented. So the Apostle Paul said, no, I am not going to bring John Mark. Why? He left us. The guy cannot be dependent on. And the Bible tells us there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. There was a disagreement. Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of the Lord. And he was traveling through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. My question, who is right and who is wrong? How many of you say the Apostle Paul was wrong? Raise your hand. How many of you say Barnabas was wrong? Raise your hand. How many of you will never raise your hand? Would you like to know the answer? Both are correct. Why? It's okay to disagree. They kept it among themselves. There was no slander. There was no gossip. The church did not split. This is what you call minor issue. It is not essential. This has to do with style. For the Apostle Paul, I want to bring people that I'm comfortable with. For Barnabas, then bring John Mark. Paul said, no. What is my proof? That they did not take this personally. There was no animosity. In fact, there was no church split. The Bible says, committed by the brethren. There was harmony. Huh? What's my proof? Years later, I will show you. In Colossians chapter 4, Paul wrote the following. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sent you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark. Huh? They did not really separate, just different team. About whom you receive instructions, if he comes, welcome him. Welcome John Mark. Paul did not say, have nothing to do with John Mark. That guy is bad news. No. They work together still. Different team. Notice, the last writing of the Apostle Paul before he died, 2 Timothy. Let's read. Only Luke is with me. Pick up Mark. This time, he wants Mark. Bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. So, what's the point? You see, John Mark needed to learn. He needed to learn what he did was wrong. And Paul delivered that message. But John Mark needed somebody to mentor him. Barnabas mentored him. John Mark grew because of this experience. What about Barnabas? Well, look at what the Bible says. Paul and Barnabas did not fight. Or do only Barnabas and I not have a right to refrain from working? Do you understand? These are non-major issues. So it is okay to disagree agreeably. You see, my wife and I, praise God for my wife, we don't always agree in everything because God did not want me to marry a robot. God does not want you to be a robot. So you are not a robot. You don't have to agree in everything. But on major issue, we need to agree. Amen? So, are you relaxed now? So, how do you know God's will? Study God's word, yes or no? And then, what must you do? Seek God's agenda. Look at what they did. Acts 16. Paul came to Derbe and to Lystra, and the disciple was there named Timothy. You're introduced to a new person, Timothy. The son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. Mestizo po ito. The first conyo. Mestizo. Understand? Mestizo. And he was well spoken by the brethren who were in Lystra and Iconium. Timothy, a young believer, was well respected. So, what happened to Paul? The Bible tells us. So you know history. From Antioch, they developed into two teams. Barnabas and John Mark went to Cyprus. No competition, it's cooperation. For Paul, they went to Tarsus, Derbe, Iconium, Lystra. In this place, he went back. And there was a young boy by the name of Timothy. Timothy. Wow. Who is Timothy? The son of a Jewish believer. And the Bible tells us Paul wanted this man to go with him and took him and circumcised him. Because of the Jews who were in those parts, they all knew that his father was a Greek. Now, let me ask you, why did Paul circumcise Timothy? In chapter 15, they all agreed, you don't need circumcision to become a Christian. Remember? In chapter 15, there was a big issue. Should somebody be circumcised, adopt the Jewish religion in order to become a Christian? That was decided. No need. We are saved by grace in Christ, not by circumcision, not by joining a religion. But in this case, why was Timothy circumcised? My friend, Paul's mindset to pursue God's agenda. What is God's agenda? Let me share with you for the Apostle Paul. To the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. What was his motive? He wants to have the least unnecessary obstacles to bring people to Jesus. That's how you know God's will. His word, the boundaries, and pursue his agenda. And the Bible tells us, Paul's philosophy, to those who are without the law, as without the law, though not being without the law. Paul is saying, to those who are Gentiles, who do not know the law of the Old Testament, I have no problem. But Paul is saying, I am not lawless, but under the law of Christ. Everybody read, so that I might win. His purpose, evangelism, make disciples. So look at his philosophy. Everybody please read. So then, whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, everybody, do all for the glory of God. Do you see, if you study God's word, you will know God's will for your life. You will know, because you know God's heart. Notice, everybody read. Just as I please all men in all things, notice, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. You know, my sister visited us last week because my sister-in-law suddenly passed away. And my sister was telling me, Peter, I don't understand. Now, she's from Singapore. She said, I don't understand. How come some Christians don't have biblical worldview? I said, what do you mean? He said, for example, I have people coming to me, telling me, it is God's will for me to marry this person. And then I said, what's the problem? My sister told her, but this man is not a follower of Jesus. Why are you marrying that person? And the girl answered, it is God's will. Now listen to me. God's will never contradict God's word. So you can never use that as an excuse. Somebody comes to my wife. I want to divorce my husband. Why? God's will. How do you know God's will? Because God wants me to be happy. You see, they decide what is God's will or not God's will based on personal feelings. What's the problem? They've not studied the entire counsel of God, the Bible. You must know God's word. And you must not only know, you must seek God's agenda. Do whatever you want to do for his glory. The Bible tells us, submit to authority. What do you mean submit to authority? Look, you know, God's will, many times, is decided by God-given authority. While they were passing through cities, they were delivering the decrees which had been decided upon by the apostles and elders who were in Jerusalem for them to observe. So the churches were being strengthened in the faith and were increasing in numbers. Notice what was Paul doing? Paul was visiting the cities, and what was he doing? Delivering the decrees. In chapter 15, it was a letter sent by the mother church. Remember? They send letters. This Sunday, you discover those letters are now called decrees. What are decrees? These are instructions to be followed, to be obeyed. So, the mother church has influence over all the daughter churches. Why? That's the way of God. You need to learn to submit to authorities. If not, you're going to have a problem. The church will not be strengthened, and you won't be increasing in number, provided those in authority are preaching the word of God. Are we clear? Ladies and gentlemen, do you know why people don't submit to authorities? Let me tell you why. Because there are many people in authority who are abusive. People in power tend to abuse, to take advantage of people. That's why young people today do not like to submit to authority. Bad examples. And I don't blame them. So I speak to all fathers today. Fathers, God has given you authorities. But please, be a good example. Make it easy for your children to obey you. Don't make it hard. The Bible tells us there are five ordained authorities. Five in the Bible. Number one, you must submit to government. Every person is to be in subjection to governing authorities. The Bible says there is no government that has been set up without God's approval. Huh? You mean to tell me including the Roman government? The Roman government was one of the worst when it comes to human rights. But Paul never said, let's have a rebellion. Let's disobey. No, submit. Next, parental authority. Those of you who are living with your parents, will you please stand up? All of you whose parents are still alive, stand up. Living, you are living with your parents, or living. That's the condition, living with parents. Stand up. Wow. You know, this is a young church. You know, I feel really young. I really feel young. So, children, you are living with your parents. All children, read this. Children, ready, go. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. So children, you want to know God's will? Very simple. How do you know God's will? Obey your parents. Nothing mysterious. God's will is revealed many times through His ordained authorities. What's our problem? We don't obey our parents. I don't know any parents who will purposely tell their children, will you rob a bank? Will you please commit adultery? Seldom. Maybe there are some crazy parents, okay? Now, if they tell you to do something against the Bible, then don't do it. But other than that, submit to them. Thank you. Husbands, stand up. Ah, no, not husband. Wives, wives, all wives, stand up. Wives, stand up. Wives. 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 This is for you. Okay, wives. Will you please read this together with me? Wives. Ready, go. No, no, read this with conviction, okay? Ready, go. Wives. Wow. Gentlemen, you are so happy today, right? Because your wife will submit to you. But please, don't abuse your authority. Ladies, thank you very much. Employers, I want to ask all employees, if you work for a boss, stand up. All employees, stand up. Employees. Ano ba kayo mga bossing kayo lahat? All of you are boss, huh? Wow, so many bosses. All right, all employees, are you standing? Employees, listen to me. Read this together. All employees. All of us, employees, you have a boss. Be obedient to those who are your masters. Wow. Thank you, Sidan. All of you who are part of CCF, stand up. All of you who are part of a church, stand up. You better stand up. If you don't stand up, I don't know why you are here, okay? Maybe you are our guest. If you are our guest, don't stand up, okay? Now, everybody, look around you. Look at those people who are not standing up, okay? Just look at them. Now, you got to love them, okay? You got to love them, okay? Love them. Because not everybody is from CCF. Do you understand? So love them. Love them, all right? Now, what must you do? Obey your leaders and submit to them. Now, I tell all pastors, don't abuse your position. Because there are many abusive pastors. Now, everybody, remain standing. The principle of obedience. Let's read this together. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect. Not only those who are good and gentle, but to those who are unreasonable. You see, the truth is sometimes you suffer for obeying. God is saying, that's okay. Provided they don't ask you to do something against the Bible. Do you agree some bosses are really obnoxious? No, don't look at your bosses now, okay? Are you agree some pastors maybe? But with the Holy Spirit, amen? Everybody read. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with grief, for this will be unprofitable for you. This message tells me two things. Submission to leaders is for our protection. My wife has discussed many times with small group leaders, do not invite this guy to teach Bible in your group. Because the way he's teaching the Bible is not based on biblical truth. It is 90% truth, true, but 10% false. You need to learn to listen. Our job is to help protect the flock from heretical teaching, especially now in the internet. So how will you know what to listen or not? We have provided a way which we will be introducing to you, an amazing digital information system where you will learn how to download those information. Next, to those who are leaders, please understand, don't abuse your position because you are answerable to God. Exercise your responsibility with joy. So fathers, are you the pastor of your family? Fathers, yes or no? Yes. Fathers, you are accountable to God. That's the idea here. Church leaders, we're accountable. Praise God. Thank you. Sit down. You know, the only major reason why you need to know this is this. Everybody, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. The reason why I submit to authority is because God is in control of those in authority. You know, a few years ago, many years ago, I made a decision. I presented it to the board. The board disapproved my proposal. I wanted to buy office space for CCF. At that time, it was a fantastic deal. 10 years to pay, minimum down payment. It's right beside San Francisco Square. The board did not agree with me. In my mind, I am more knowledgeable when it comes to real estate than board members. But you know what? Because of this principle, submit. I submitted to the board. And I praise God, I submitted to the board. You know why? As I look back now, if I did not submit to the board, we won't have this place. Praise God. I remember another time, somebody was offering us a property in China. Beautiful place, in an island. I presented it to the board. I said, this is no brainer. Let's accept it. Again, I was surprised. The board says, just because it is being offered, does not mean you should accept it. And I thought about it. I said, you know what? It's a small issue. Nothing personal. So I don't want to fight it. I said, okay. In other words, submission to authority is for our protection. Tell your neighbor, for your protection. And sometimes, you may not agree, but you need to submit. Amen? My wife is an example of godly submission. Up to today, I am married to a very submissive wife. Thank you, baby. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. You know, what does it mean to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Do you realize God speaks to us? He speaks to us. Through circumstances, through peace, through the heart. Look, they passed through the Phrygian and Galatian region, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. You see, God guides us. The Holy Spirit is real. He's in your heart. But sometimes, He will tell you, this is not the way. Now, I do not know how the Holy Spirit did it, okay? I do not know. Was it a dream? Was it a vision? But one thing I know. Let's read together. After they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, the northern part, and the Spirit of Jesus, another name for the Holy Spirit, did not permit them. And passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. You notice how God guides us? God does not guide us when you are lazy and doing nothing. You see, I learned this principle. How many of you like boating, sailing? Or you sailed a couple of times? Higher. Okay. I grew up with sailboats, okay, with boats. I noticed something. You cannot steer or navigate a sailboat or a boat when it is not moving. Let me repeat. A sailboat cannot be navigated to go right or left when it is not moving. When a Christian is doing nothing, just waiting for God to reveal His will, just waiting and waiting and waiting, my friend, you will wait until the end of the world. No, you keep on being busy doing what God has made known to you. So you keep on doing. And then when He wants to change your direction, He will tell you. But don't think, you know what? I'm not going to do anything yet. May trabaho ka na ba? No. I don't have a job. What are you doing? I'm counting my fingers. My friend, be busy doing what you know God wants you to do. Don't be idle. So the Bible tells us the Spirit guided them. And then as they were moving, a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A vision. A man of Macedonia was standing and appearing to him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." There's a vision from God. When he had seen the vision, immediately, notice the grammar changed. We sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Do you understand what's happening? The Holy Spirit was involved. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit. And now it's God Himself. Because God speaks to us. It is very sad today when Christians don't ever hear God speaking to them. My friend, the Christian life is very exciting. It's exciting. It's never boring. But many of you have not lived up to God's standard. What is God's standard? God wants you to live life to the fullest. But you are not able to live life to the fullest. Why? You don't even understand that the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Why? You don't have quiet time. You don't read the Bible. Do you know God speaks to us, but you are not listening? One of my greatest privileges, of greatest joy, is to hear God tell me what to do. Everything we do in CCF, like buying this place, like all of these things, these are all from the Lord. I will never do things without God's go signal. It is exciting to see God at work, but you need to learn to listen. And you don't listen when you're so busy with your agenda. You don't take time. How does God speak to us? Many times in your quiet time, many times when you're attending a worship service like this. God speaks. Believe me, He speaks. But if you have never heard God, ask yourself, why not? You know, God's will is revealed one step at a time. And God's will is discovered one step at a time as you obey. So putting out to the sea from Troas, we run a straight course to Samoth race. And on the day following to Neapolis, from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia, a Roman colony, we were staying in this city for some days. This is one of the most significant verses in the entire Bible, because the history of Western Europe was transformed. The emperor of that time has no idea how a group of men led by the Spirit would bring the gospel to Europe. This is the first time the gospel message went from Asia to Europe. And Europe is never the same. Why? Because God guided Paul and his men. The pronoun was changed. Luke was with them. Luke was the writer. Luke said, he guided us. Why? My goodness. Instead of going to Asia, the Lord said, no, you go to Philippi. By the way, a few months from now, I'm going to bring a group of people to the Apostle Paul's journey. And we will visit Philippi. We will visit Thessaloniki. We'll visit these places. You know why? Because Paul was guided by the Lord. And then, use your common sense. You know, many times, people are paralyzed. I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit. Waiting for the Holy Spirit. Excuse me, use your common sense. Tell your neighbor, use your common sense. After service, where will you eat? Some people, everything. I'm waiting from God. My friend, God doesn't want you to be a robot. Enjoy life. You like Chinese food? Go to a Chinese restaurant. Then when you go there, the place is full. Where the place is full? Lord, thank you. Another place. In other words, relax and enjoy what God wants you to do. Amen? Not always. I'm still praying. Then when you see the menu, I'm still praying. My friend, use your common sense, okay? And on the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to a riverside where we were supposing that there would be a place of prayer. And we sat down and began speaking to the women who had assembled. What was Paul doing? He was using his common sense. How do I begin to evangelize? He was looking for a synagogue. There was no synagogue. You know why? Not enough Jews. To have a synagogue, you must at least have 10 adult male. Not enough Jews. These are Gentiles. So he went to look for a place, and he saw some women praying. So this tells you, the first convert in Asia, the first person to transform Europe, was a woman. What's her name? Lydia. How many of you are called Lydia? Raise your hands. Not man. I mean, why are you raising your hand? Pangbabae itong pangalan. Lydia. Okay, Lydia. We have a few Lydia here. Now, Lydia, look. A woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, the most expensive fabric. Purple. The dye is so expensive. Very expensive. So she was a upper class woman. Let's read. Together, ready, go. Together. A worshiper of God. You see, God was working in her heart. Number two. Number three. To respond. The Lord opened her heart. You know, that's my lesson. I will do what God wants me to do. But I cannot force people to believe in Jesus. I just pray for people that God will open their heart. And that's what happened. God opened her heart. And she and her household. Everybody read? How do you know she should be baptized? That's the command of Jesus. Believe and be baptized. So you follow God. Next. She urged us together. You have judged me to be faithful to the Lord. Come into my house and stay. You see, common sense. Paul did not say, wait, let me pray. Lord, should I go to her house? Should I not? Here's a young believer, the first believer, inviting you. So what did Paul do? He went. Common sense. It happened while we were going to the place of prayer, a slave girl, having a spirit of divination, possessed, was bringing her master much profit. Thus, the other person converted is another girl. Lydia, high class, very rich. And now you have the lowest class, a slave girl, demonized. What was she doing? She was messing up Paul. She was causing problems. And you know what Paul did? This is what Paul did. She kept on messing up Paul. Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said, let's read, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And it came out of her at that very moment. So ladies and gentlemen, when God is at work, the demons are at work also. Do not think when God is at work and you are in God's will, Satan will be sleeping. No, Satan was at work. But Paul did not want anything to do with demonic forces and the gospel being combined. No. So he cast out the demons. By the way, are there still people possessed by demons today? Yes or no? Yes? You know, last night I heard our pastor speaking. Same verse. How an Englishman came to him a few weeks ago after a family seminar. And this Englishman told him, can you pray for me? Because my daughter is angry at me. My daughter is very disrespectful. By the way, we got permission, okay, to share this story. And Manny asked him, do you have a bad temper? He said, oh, yes, yes. I just fought with my wife. I shot at my children. Manny said, that's the problem. The reason why your daughter is angry and not respectful is because you are a bad mother. So he said, okay, can you pray for me? So while they were praying, the Lord impressed upon Manny. Manny went through our deliverance ministry, okay? Remember? Spiritual warfare. Nothing wrong if you pray. So Manny prayed this prayer. Lord, if there's an angry spirit inside this man, I command the angry spirit, leave this person. And my goodness, the person began to, you know, suddenly he changed his hands. He said, something is wrong. There's a lot of pain. And then Manny said, I command you in the name of Jesus, leave this man. Praise God. He vomited. And he was delivered. Is God amazing? I tell you. God is alive. But many times, the devil is also at work. When the master saw, okay, when the master saw that the prophet has gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them. My goodness. You know, what they did, the master was only after money, invented the story. You can read this on your own. Invented the story. So they all attacked Paul. You know how they attacked him? My goodness. They brought up false accusations, etc. And the Bible tells us the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off them, proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. Beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. I want you to imagine you are Paul, doing the will of God, proclaiming the gospel. And then suddenly, people attack you. Not only attack you, they beat you up with rods until your back is black and blue and bleeding. Then they put you in jail, put your feet on a stock. Be honest with me. How would you feel? Be honest. How would you feel? You probably say, where is God? Lord, what are you doing? You see, this is so important. God, doing God's will does not exempt you from problems. Let me repeat. Doing God's will, listening to God's Spirit, does not exempt you from trials. In fact, many times, God will allow trials. Why? To mold your character, to accomplish His purpose, but you don't see it, you don't understand. And here is where many Christians fall apart. I've seen many people, they become disillusioned. They become discouraged. They become depressed. And they stop following Jesus. In Tagalog, nagtatampo. What is tampo in English? Tampo. Disillusion. They lost interest. It's useless to be a Christian. Why? He did not answer my prayer. My child died. My mother died. Disillusion. Friends, you better know God's will. God does not exempt us from problems. And the Bible tells us, the last thing I want you to remember, what is God's will? Supplication with thanksgiving. When you are in a bind, when you are feeling like you're in prison, no more hope, what must you do? You pray and give thanks. Are you able to do that? Pray and give thanks? My goodness, the Bible tells us about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying, singing hymns of praise to God. And the prisoners were listening. This is amazing. Paul was in prison, beaten up. What was he doing? Having a pity party? Oh, kawawa naman ako. Kawawa ako. Where is God? Where is God? No, no, no. He was praying and singing, praising God. You know why? Paul was in Philippi, in jail. Years later, he wrote a letter to Philippi. You know what was his instruction? Exactly the same. Everybody read, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you are worried or anxious today? Raise your hands. Be honest. You're anxious. You're worried. Higher. All right. Stop sinning, okay? From now on, stop sinning. Be anxious for nothing. Do you know to worry is to sin? You know why people worry? You worry because your God is very small. You worry because you think your problem is bigger than God. That's why you worry. But for God's people, the solution is very simple. When you begin to worry, remember, what must you do? Supplication with thanksgiving. That's a statement of faith. That's saying, Lord, I don't know why, but you commanded me by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You must include thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is the key that will unlock the power of God in your heart. Don't just pray. You must thank God in advance for what He will be doing in your life. Lord, I thank you in advance. And the Bible says something supernatural will happen. The peace of God will come to your life. And you know what happened? If you read the Acts 16, at the right time, suddenly, God appeared. They were praying, singing. The prisoners were listening. They were evangelizing. And boom, after praying, after singing, suddenly, God appeared. There came a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison house shaken. Immediately, all the doors were open. Everyone's chains were unfastened. Supernatural power manifested. Can you imagine? All the doors were open. All the chains. Is God amazing, yes or no? Are you in an impossible situation today? Are you in an impossible situation today? What must you do? Pray. And give thanks. Is God bigger than our problem? Louder. Yes. Praise God. Yes or no? Praise God. Is God bigger than our problem? So what is God's will? God's will is very simple. Pray and give thanks. No need to be depressed. You know, when the jailer awoke, saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword, was about to kill himself. You know why? He thought all the prisoners escaped. This is another miracle. They were in prison. But no one escaped. Why? Because under the law, if a prisoner escapes, the jailer will pay for his life. If this law is applied in the Philippines, I tell you, we will run out of jailers. Because jailers will pay. Anybody that's escaped, you pay with your life. Roman discipline. But the Bible tells us they did not escape. My goodness. And the jailer was about to kill himself. And the most amazing verse. He called for lights, rushed in, checking, trembling with fear. Are all of them here? And then he asked a question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Is that a good question? Have you ever asked yourself, what must I do to be saved? A beautiful word. What must I do to be saved? Here's the answer. You see how God uses events, hardship, pain? Well, everybody read the answer. What's the answer? Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household. Many people misunderstand this verse. This verse is not saying, if you are saved, your entire family is automatically saved. This is not what this verse is saying. This verse is simply saying, believe in the Lord Jesus. If you believe, you'll be saved. If your family believe, your family will be saved. Understand? There's no automatic evangelism. Believe, and you'll be saved. If your family believe, they'll be saved. And the Bible tells us, they spoke the word of the Lord together with all of his household. Now, the most amazing thing, how do you know the jailer got saved? How do you know the jailer believed? How do you know today you are a follower of Jesus? How do you know? I always say, evidence. What's the evidence? Has your life been transformed? The jailer was transformed. The jailer took them that very hour and washed their wounds. Look at the kindness. The jailer was washing the wounds of Paul and Silas. And then the jailer was baptized. Evidence. And he brought them into his house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his entire household. Friends, is God amazing, yes or no? Do you want to know God's will? What's number one? Study his word. What's number two? You must seek his mission. What's number three? Submit to authority. What's number four? Be sensitive to God's spirit. And lastly, what must you do? Supplication with thanksgiving. Let me close with a story. When I visited my sister-in-law in the ICU last week, I saw this verse in action. I usually comfort family members or friends who are in ICU. I've seen enough people in ICU and I know she was dying. We all knew. Rushed to the hospital that week. But what comforted me was this. My brother told me that his wife, one day before, she told my brother, I see Jesus. Jesus is holding my hand. I see angels waiting for me. When my brother heard that, my brother knows enough that she's ready to go home. So my brother knew she's going to die. But my sister-in-law told my brother, she did not use the word die. When I am rested, I want you to shout. Entire family, you must shout, hallelujah. The power of God in the midst of death. Because God showed up in the ICU. And God told my sister-in-law, I'm with you. It's the greatest miracle, if you ask me. Before you die, you see God's presence. You see Jesus holding your hand. And you see the angel waiting for you. That is the legacy of God's people. The ability to have an encounter with God, His Spirit. Mina, my sister-in-law, never complained. Never complained why she was not healed. She never turned her back on the Lord. She never grumbled. She never doubted God. I was with the whole family. Never. She just say, I thank the Lord for everything. I thank the Lord. Friends, that's the heritage of God's people. I don't know if God has spoken to you. God wants to have a real, intimate relationship with you. The greatest privilege is to know the will of God and to walk in accordance to His will. That's a great privilege. The peace that surpasses all understanding. That's your heritage. God wants you to know His will and to do His will. Your life will never be the same. If you are living a boring life, your Christianity is not joyful. Is it possible? You are not doing what God wants you to do. Let's bow our heads. If God has spoken to you, and you say, you know, Peter, I don't have peace. I don't have joy. I don't think I'm a real Christian. Well, He gives you the answer. Believe in Jesus. Believe that He's your Savior. Believe Him. And the Bible says you will be saved. If you really want to be saved, if you really want to be sure you belong to Jesus, why don't you raise your hands? Higher. Praise God. Today, you said, I am not sure, but I want to be sure. Raise your hands higher. Now, those of you whose hands are raised up, I want you to know what you are doing. You are saying today, you want to really surrender your life to Jesus, and you want to do His will, no matter what it is. That's the meaning of coming to Jesus. Without condition, you are saying, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I want to know you, know your will, and obey you. If that's your desire, raise your hands higher. I want to pray for you. Keep them up. You want to really know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You have never seriously surrendered your life. You don't have peace. You don't have joy. Because you have been playing games with God. All right, those of you whose hands are raised up, you pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, here I am. I want to be honest with you. I've never really surrendered my life completely. I've never really been very sincere in wanting to know your will and do your will. Today, I believe that you are the Savior. You are the Lord. I not only believe that you died for me, I also believe you are my Lord. You are my Master. I accept your gift of eternal life. I accept your gift of salvation, your forgiveness. Help me from this day onward to know your will. Help me to study the Bible and help me to seek your mission for my life. If you prayed that prayer just now, all of you whose hands are raised up, I want you to stand up. Stand up between you and Jesus. I want to pray for you. Stand up. You prayed that prayer, you raise your hands, stand up. Because God is watching you, and God is saying, if you want to know my will is to save you. What is God's will? He wants you to serve Him. What is God's will? He wants you to seek after Him. Anybody else? Praise God. Between you and the Lord, I know it's at this time when you struggle. Should I stand? Should I not stand? If God is speaking to you, listen. The problem is you don't listen because you are so busy. You will not hear God's voice until you take the first step. You hear God's voice one step at a time. Anybody else? You want to be serious with the Lord? Stand up. Praise God. I always know there are people who is waiting. And God is speaking to you. God is saying, make today your day. Know God's will. Obey His will. And God's will is for your salvation. You have no idea how much God wants to save you. Why don't you stand up and be saved? Not because you're standing up, but because you're repenting, trusting Him. Anybody else? Praise God. Now, to those of you who are seated, I want to challenge you that starting today, you be serious in studying God's Word to seek His agenda for your life and listen to God's Spirit and learn to submit to authority. If that's your desire, to know God's will and do God's will you also stand up? Please, thank you. You are serious in wanting to know God's will and to do God's will, like the Apostle Paul, to be guided by the Spirit of God. I want to pray for all of you. You are saying, Lord, I'm serious. I want to know your will and I'll do your will. I want to learn to listen. Learn to listen to the inner voice. Look at circumstances and look at your own heart. Father God in heaven, I thank you for being so real in the lives of the Apostle Paul and Silas and your people today. I know they're listening to you and that's why they're standing up. Help all of us to learn, to listen, and to obey, because it is your will for us not just to know your will, but to do your will, to live an amazing life full of abundance, of joy and excitement. But Lord, I know it does not mean there is no problem. But in the midst of problem, we can give thanks. Lord, just like Mina, just like the entire family, how joyful they were when death approaches. Full of peace, full of joy. Because Lord, you showed up. In your presence, there is joy, there is peace. Bless your people here. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you.